You are listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silvering at mahoganysilvering.net. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Jolly Rancher, an erotic Christmas romance by best-selling author Sierra London. Diesel Conrad, she says they're enemies, but his gut says she belongs to him. Granted, he has forgotten some insignificant things in his life, like his own name, but he is certain of two things. One, she wants him. Two, he has the equipment to give her a very merry sleigh ride. Amanda Messy Mandy Murphy. All she wanted was a winter white vacation. But her sister's ex roped her into selling his ranch before Christmas. This arrogant, too gorgeous man is her personal bah humbug, or at least until the accident. Now he's convinced she belongs to him. She's going to need a Christmas miracle, and fast. Jolly Rancher, the number one bestseller by Sierra London, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Get your copy on Amazon today. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl one of the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of, and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs, with her wholesome queen image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust, or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An Interracial Romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today. Hello and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, and I have a show for you tonight. We are talking to, actually welcoming back to the show, author J.Z. Luciano, and I call her Lady J, because this is my buddy, military buddy, and we are just a mess together. Say hi.
Hello. You just had to put that part in there, didn't you?
Oh, of course, of course.
Yes, we are battle buddy number one.
Mm-hmm. So definitely, for those who are just now listening to us and have not met this wonderful author before, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started to write?
I believe I've been writing all my life. Everywhere I went, even as a child, as you know, as we've spoken before, mm-hmm. I would just scribble everywhere. everywhere. And I guess I was just born to write. But having worked in the beauty industry and fashion industry for nearly 20 years as a rep, you see everything. And the only thing you want to do when you retire is write.
Oh, yes. Can't blame you there.
There's so much material there. And writing is just a benchmark of my life right now. I love to write. I write for calmness, for just keep me focused. And just, I'm an adventurous spirit and an incurable romantic at heart. We both know that.
Oh, yes.
So
definitely.
I can't help but write. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
So tell us what you're working on now.
I am working on 3 books at one time right now.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. It has been a chore to write. Well, I'm working on, as you know, Elle the Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle the Ball, the intention was for it to be a short novella, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be a 3-part trilogy. So it has an interesting backstory. I put my heart and soul into Elle the Ball. I have been writing until Mahogany, my editor, sent it over to her. Susie, Miss former DC Comics, sent it back. What is this?
No, she didn't.
This is not you. Go back, redo this. I want you to do this, and this. Now, that's actually a good editor. She's like an old drill sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand where I'm going with that. You know, soldier,
yes,
you are a no-go.
I sure
with this manuscript is a no-go at this station. My poor little feelings were so hurt at first.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, I poured my heart and soul over this. I went without
What do you mean?
I didn't do laundry 4 or 5 days at a time to write this.
So I can finish.
What
yes.
do you mean? She said, this is not your potential. You're not writing. You're not in a race. You put this together in a hurry.
In a hurry.
She said, I want your voice in every line of this story. So after I picked my soul up off the floor, so to speak, and got with my ego, like, where
yes.
are you? I know you're hiding somewhere.
Right. Why didn't you defend me? Right?
She crushed me, Mahogany. It was so funny. You know, it wasn't funny at first. I mean, I wept like a baby. I wept, in all honesty, I wept. You know me, I'm very matter of fact. I wept like a baby. But I went back to the drawing board. And I said, what do I want to go to? You know what she told me? She said, Elle the Ball is no longer a manuscript. It is a full-blown operation.
Okay. All right.
Once she said that, I guess all those years at Sony and with DC Comics and in the industry, she knew exactly what to say to me to dress right, dress.
Gotcha.
And that's how Elle the Ball has turned into a trilogy, a 3-part trilogy, which will be Elle the Ball, Elle of the Iron Fall, and Elle of the Iron Snowfall.
Oh, now those sound nice.
I know.
Is there any correlation to Cinderella?
Not in this one.
Okay.
No.
Okay, just checking because it's an L, so I just, the ball, so I'm like, okay.
Remember those old, you know, you and I are from the South, so you know those old cotillion balls we used to go to.
Yes. Yes. I remember those.
Think of that. Those old mint juleps wore red.
Oh, yes.
And those taffeta dresses that itched us and irritated us forever. Put your mindset into that. It starts out at a Republican fundraiser gone to hell. And from there, total espionage. And intrigue.
Wow.
The Bradfords, the Sicilianos, the everybody, you know, the NSA,
goodness.
Everybody, senators, you name it, they're in it. So I
oh,
went back and gave
really
her what
exciting.
She wanted.
Yes.
It really is. And I'm very excited about it. And it has been fun writing it, you know.
Nice. Well, that sounds like something I want
yeah,
to
I,
definitely.
Oh,
whenever
yeah,
you had more intrigue
dark
and
passions in it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm talking Nina Ricci Diamonds from there to the Bratva to pool,
oh my
water,
goodness.
people drowning, people nearly drowning. So it's just
wait,
it's like what
you
type
got
of fundraiser is this?
You got who else? FBI, yes. NSA.
You,
who else?
You got the, yes,
you got
the
CIA.
Yeah, the,
because if the Bradfa is involved, there's the CIA for you. For those
I
of
mean,
you who do not know what that is.
She,
yes.
You know, Elle's in a fight or flight situation.
Right.
Her cover's blown. She
right.
was, a, you know, she was a, come
she's
find out, she's an NSA operative.
Gotcha.
Who, one of the brothers of the Bradfa was killed because of her. They are out for blood.
Wow.
But the gentleman that's in love with her, Dominic, he's head of the La Cosa Nostra in Sicily. It's not going to happen.
Mm. No.
So then you got father, who's in love with her too, who's also her handler.
Oh, my goodness.
There's so much going on in this story. Even Susie had to, she said, I don't even know where to start to edit this. She said, because
wow.
it's powerful.
Like a
I said
movie.
I did what you told me. I turned it into an operation.
Yep. This sounds like a movie to me. Yeah, definitely. As a matter of fact,
comics, Sony.
Yeah. Yeah. This mm-hmm. is yeah, this is definitely a movie. I have another guest next week who's coming on who is a film producer and an author, and he also is looking for books
oh, wow.
to turn to films. So I may need to get you guys together because that sounds like a movie. A serious movie.
Okay, you can take the maybe out of that.
Yeah, we yes. Let's plan on doing that.
Let's just sound like a that sound like operation
yeah.
of its own.
That sound like
you
a,
read
yes.
the assignment.
Yes,
that's why we love you because you always read the assignment. You are always
right.
3 to 4 steps ahead of us, no matter what we do.
Oh yeah,
you
it
and Susie
be.
Would be
it
perfect
be.
Together. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
that's what I'm thinking. I was like, this sounds like a movie. Because I love watching
it
movies.
It really
like that, so.
Is.
Yeah. When you have the detailed plots and operations, and I guess it's the military part of me that just like, you know.
I can't help it.
Something
can
exciting,
help
you can't
it?
Help it. Yeah. We just can't.
All,
you know?
It's in every book I write. And I'm like, I try to get away from the military thing, and it's just ingrained in me. I can't do it. It's boring. I can't do it.
Well, that's like
I
me
really,
and paranormal.
Literally
I
cannot do
I can't
it.
Get away from. I can't write a regular story. It has to be paranormal.
I can't.
It's the
I
same
don't know
way.
How to do that. What does that say about us?
We have it's military just, paranormal brain. That's all. That's just what it is.
My brain automatically goes. I'm like,
you're right. What you know?
Where's the covertness here? There's got to be something.
Right.
Someone somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yes.
But that's the life we live, so it's ingrained
yeah.
in us, and it can't be helped.
True.
And it's very exciting. It makes for great reading. It is an absolute, and I don't
Definitely.
Say that out of arrogance. I say that out of confidence.
No. Definitely.
It's time for something different in the industry, and this is it. Because
yes.
it's like glam lit meets military romance meets military suspense meets military thriller.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and
because
there
anytime
you, go.
You have all those agencies involved, it's going to be something. I mean, yes. And that's where your suspense comes in, and then you find out that so-and-so is working for some, you know, different agency or what, you know, and you think one person is one thing, you find out they're another. So there's so many different surprises and plot twists you can do with that. So that's why it's like, I've never been bored with that. Yes.
Everywhere. I mean, think about it. You have this beautiful, raving woman of color. That's so strong, and she's more powerful than all the statesmen, billionaires, and everyone around her.
Mm.
They have to, they need her. They have to, but they're going to fight tooth and nail to protect her at the same time. So, and that's your intrigue right there. You know, you have to wonder, okay, is she the protagonist, the antagonist? What is she really? You know, then there's this name change, and then it changes back. It's just crazy, you know. But I like the conflict between the Italian mafia and the Russian mafia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, who's the strongest? Who will win? You know.
I don't know. I have to kind of go with the Bratva. They're pretty cold. I mean, and just kind of bold with them.
The Bratva is cold, but they're not as cold. Look, the Segretti Siciliano has Luigi, the watchman. They call him the watchman.
Oh, okay.
The Bratva is not ready for him. Because Luigi's grandfather is part Russian, so he's already, he just has a mixture of everything.
Oh, wow.
That's why they call him the Watchman. So, and you know where I got it from? Watching Outlander. Can you imagine?
I can see that.
Season 2.
Season 2. Oh, goodness. I can see that.
When they were in France, I was like, oh, my God.
I
wrote that chapter like crazy that night. And that's where I got it from.
I know. It's amazing how we watch something and come up with something completely different. But, but it's along those lines.
Completely different.
But they gave us that. It's like a word, you know, you think, okay, pool table or something, and I'm just like, oh, that reminds me of this and this, and then you go down the rabbit hole. Yep. Except it's a good rabbit hole.
I think I was following the right rabbit on that night. It was a total interesting. That you say that, yeah, there you go. And I wanted to say, Susie, eat your heart out. You finally have what you want.
Is
now.
She listening? Wow. My goodness.
You have to love her for pushing that hard, for caring enough to push.
Yes, it sounds like you found a really good editor, because I really haven't. I would like one that just wouldn't fight me as much. You know, I mean, if it's a good thing, you know, I can take a little, you know, a little criticism, but when you want to change my entire story, we got to talk.
I'm like, who's writing this story, me or you?
Right, me or you?
She was question is, who has to edit this story, me or you? Oh. Well, at that point, you know, yes, what do you say, yes, drill sergeant?
Yes, sir.
With my head bowed, yes, yes, sir. Sure, yes, sir. Ma'am, yes,
sir,
ma'am.
Yes, right.
I'm really happy that she did. I know. It wasn't easy. I'm telling you, for 2 weeks, I didn't write anything. I couldn't ask, did she really say that to me? Did she say that to me? Did she really say that to me? You know, I went total Robert De Niro. Was she talking to me?
You talking to me? I'll see nobody else, right?
You know, I'm looking. She's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking through these files to see who you're talking to. I'm like, this is a great story. She was like, this is a great story for an amateur.
Mm. Wow. Ouch. And yeah, you're definitely not an amateur. No.
That was a shark bite. I'm like, yes. You nip me. That was a shark bite. That was a shark bite. Exactly. And I mean, it was tough. I mean, I wanted to fall apart.
Oh, goodness.
When she did that, but I couldn't. And you know me, I'm a fighter, so I had to get with it.
Yeah,
now.
We both are stars. That's what I said. I have to find someone I don't fight with.
Because people are asking, how did you come up with, you know, Luca and all these Russian names? I'm like, honey, you don't have the clearance for that. Leave that alone.
I tell you.
Leave that. Yeah, we're going to have to leave that where it is. Let that sleeping dog lay right
your
there.
And your, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't,
yes,
you
mm-mm.
We cannot have that conversation.
But you got about, you know, just being an author in the way you write romance. And then I know you're, you know, amazing at it. So it's like, people trying to understand like where your mind. So when I write about law enforcement, it's the same thing. I know about it, so that's why
exactly.
You know, you write what you know. So you've got
write what you
military
know.
Down pat. Yes. So all these operations and stuff. I mean, I didn't get to go on one, but you had a little more exciting career than I did. I didn't get to do any of that stuff.
I wouldn't call it. It wasn't by choice. It was about, you know, I was told where to go. I can't believe he called.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We'll have to edit that.
Yeah, he doesn't know I'm in the middle of an interview, so sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you forgot, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is true, but...
Yeah,
just
man,
tell us, for those who are tuning in and listening and they have never heard about you before, let's talk about some of your back catalog, which is Ignited Bones. If we can touch a little bit on that. So you introduced you to some new readers and some new listeners that, you know, maybe tuning in for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. What would you like to know? It's a wonderful, wonderful read.
It is. So just... if you want to give a little summary or what did you like best about writing it?
Ignited Bones. Yes. Ignited Bones, Operation Moonlight. Most people feel that it's a military suspense all the way through. It's actually a love story, a very passionate love story. I'm talking... Dark Daddy love story. You have two very strong alpha males in love with one female who can't seem to make up her mind who she wants. But there's just so much suspense and drama
surrounding,
and peril surrounding the relationships where they can't quite stick the way they want to because she's so elusive. And she's so stubborn. And she's so determined. But Major Glenn has always been the apple of her eye, but they just can't seem to make it stick.
Yeah.
And Major Glenn, the book starts out, the first chapter in the book reads like something out of Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy, no. Yep.
It's about an operation gone batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which
I mean, I'm talking total cluster, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes from Washington, D.C. to the American Sky Club in Chicago, Illinois. So it just never stops. It just never stops. It's a continual, you're turning the page and you're turning the page and you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
how many plot twists are there in this story? And Lord Foxington can't understand why he can't shake this major from Sable Ann's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point comes when they actually have to form an alliance to protect her.
Yeah.
And they have to protect her from the wives, the ex-wives of the two gentlemen, because the wives have formed an alliance themselves to get even with Sable Ann. Because, and that book is going to be called Wartime Pagans.
Ah, okay.
That's the sequel.
That's
Ignited
the sequel
Bones.
Okay. Nice.
Ignited Bones, Wartime Pagans. That's the sequel.
Oh,
it's a very powerful book. And here's irony. Of course, Susie Barrows is editing. Mary Marvella did the line editing, and Terry Wilson did the content, which was phenomenal. But here's the thing. The first, what most readers and authors do not realize is that Bob Burden co-wrote the first chapter with me.
Really? Oh.
Yes. Bob Burden wrote the screenplay for the Pulp Fiction movie Mystery Men.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
I had no idea. See, you didn't even tell
no
me that.
No one knew that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's the little known, that's the backstory. Because the first draft of Ignited Bones, Bob hated it. Oh, my God. He said, girl, what is this? I did not mentor you to write this. He said, I don't know what's going on here. Okay, how should we do this, Bob? He gave me this entire writing lesson. I'm sitting at his house, he and his friend Ray. These are all old Hollywood execs. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't like the editor you have, because I had another editor before Susie. He said, I'm going to turn you over to Susie. He said, she's a bit of a hard ass. I said, well, I'm a soldier. I can handle it. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And he turned me over to Susie. Susie took that manuscript and turned it into something.
Ooh.
And Mary Marvella came behind us, and she dotted the I's, crossed the T's, and really, really put us on the right track as far as punctuation, everything. And she said, this is too emotional. I need you to take your emotion out of it and put the emotion of the character in here. Boom, boom, boom. We were done.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's the story behind Ignited Bones. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Who could possibly, what woman you know goes on and her business trip has just gone crazy? She lost a deal and millions of, thousands of miles away over in the Middle East, the bow of her heart, his operation just went up in smoke, and they're both unbeknownst to each other. But while she's sitting there at the bar in the Sky Club, out of nowhere, Lord Fossington pops back up into her life.
That was meant to be.
And saying, yes, okay. And Sable Ann is she's so gobsmacked to the point where she spills her entire spring water in her lap.
Mm-hmm.
Because she never thought she would see him of all the places in the world. Chicago? How could she even dream of seeing him? And the next thing you know, they're grounded because of Hurricane Joaquin. So then the drama really picks up from there, and it just goes off the Richter scale from there. And, I mean, all kinds of flames are rekindled and everything, but the flame doesn't last, because while they're at the W Hotel in Chicago, there's a horrendous pounding on the door.
Wow.
They're horrified. The butler, the maid, everyone's just frozen, as if frozen in the moment. Put yourself in that scene. They're frozen. You're thinking, it's, oh, my God, it's his wife. It's someone crazy. Is it the major? Who is it? It's Lord Foxington's mother, her ladyship.
Oh, my goodness.
And while they're arguing, Sable Ann puts on all of her garb. She grabs her pass. She's out the back door. She didn't say goodbye or word to anyone.
Mm.
And, you know, Lord Foxington wasn't having any of that.
No.
So they had to find her. And on her way home, she runs into you-know-who.
Yep.
So it's just, it's like I said, it's a movie. It's a,
yeah,
that's why we
is.
Call it a film.
I know.
Yes,
today,
a film noir,
you know,
in a book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, I mean, if I were her, I'd just like, look, both of y'all, that's it. Let's go.
Okay. Look,
I'm
out.
You just don't have to
do
it.
I had to put
yep.
myself in that thing. What would I do? Would I stand there? No, I'm putting on my clothes. I'm out of here. I'm definitely not going to deal with her ladyship, the most powerful woman on the southeastern seaboard. I am not going to deal with you.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
No, we're not going to. You take your son, your billions, everything else. We're good.
Yep.
But she was out the door. So Ignited Bones is a very powerful read. And readers are very surprised by it. They're like, oh, my God, that book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had one reader reviewer. The ending was so powerful. She said, I can't review this book. She said, if you change the ending, I'm like, okay, I'm the author. I'm not going to change the ending.
You're not going to change
it. I love you to death, but I'm not going to change my ending for you.
Wow.
She really wanted me to change. She was just that into the character. I wrote it.
Exactly.
I'm not that into the character. But it was very surprising to me, Mahogany, that readers, it was an eye-opening moment as well as very telling in and of itself.
Yes.
Because that let me know.
I thought the ending was good. I don't know why.
Well, you know, she wasn't having
any of that.
That ending.
Wow.
She said, you had me all the way.
Until that ending.
And she was we went through 3-4 emails about it.
Wow.
Long, lengthy
well, you know,
emails.
Like, you know, it's like if you watch a really good movie, you know, you're invested in those characters. And I know how I am about my characters.
I mean,
I
just write. I write what I feel.
I
get caught in a moment.
I can even plan it out, but it does not end up with anything in my outline sometimes. It really doesn't. Does that happen with you?
The outline and the ending did not. They were so far, they were a million years apart.
Wow.
I went where the story, I felt the story was going, where it would have gone, and it just guided my pen and paper. I just kept typing. I wrote that book day and night. I ate and slept at night of bones. Because
I'm
Bob
call
and
you
were
the,
so tough on me.
You are definitely the queen of plot twist. I mean, if anybody can sneak a plot twist, it's just... It's like you can hear...
That
would... You know, it's all the time. It's like a soap opera sometimes.
My goodness.
You just... Yes. How do you come up with these plots? Do you have the characters developed first, or do you come with a plot? Because you are good, very good, excellent at the plot twist.
You know, what I have to do with this is, let me be honest, you know, I'm an avid scotch drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I sit down with my scotch, and I look through the scotch. I don't know what it is about that ambery color.
Mm-hmm.
I hold it in my hand, and I look through it almost like a looking glass or something. And, you know, if it's
that.
Calm, I kind of swish it around in my hand just to see it fly around the glass, spinning a story. And I watch where it lands. And
uh-huh.
I'm like, well,
okay.
This will tell me if the story should I pick it up or should I just keep it even keel. And the next thing I know, I'm writing. Now, do not let me sit down with whiskey. Then that story's going off the
rails.
You do not. That's an entirely different scenario. So,
yeah, that's me.
When I'm writing when I'm writing military romance suspense, I get the scotch. When I know I got to go hot, steamy, and deep, It's the whiskey. I'm going to need the whiskey to go there.
There you go.
I'm going to need a push. I'm going to need a little push.
Mm.
And I read, and, you know, I'm an avid reader, avid researcher.
Yeah.
And I was hooked on TCM.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're very sweet. You know, I was hooked on TCM, the old Turner Classic Movies.
Yes, Turner Classic Movies that I watched with my dad a lot.
And though, you know, as a writer, and you know, we're older, we're a little older, so those movies had plot. Whether you liked them or not,
yes,
if it was your
did.
Thing, the story went somewhere.
Yeah,
you didn't have to wait
somewhere.
For all this. Because these movies nowadays, they're so millennial oriented.
And
I'm a baby boomer. I don't even.
Yeah,
I can't get my mind around trying something like that. you know, and I like the movie 365 Days.
Yes.
To me, it was just an Italian version of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, as a baby boomer, you're going to have to kill me because I'm trying to get out of here. I'm going to jump in the water. I'm going to swim away. I'm going to do
something.
You're not going to find me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stay there and whimper and weep. You know, you want to fight, then fight. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoever wins, that's what it's going to be.
Exactly.
So, you know, so I had a hard time getting into that, you know, and then she finally caves and it's like, okay, we knew where this was going at the beginning. So there's no suspense to me. There was no real, it was just more drama, more drawn out, slow drama. And I try to make my romances a combination of Tom Clancy and Dynasty.
And you definitely achieved that. I would definitely achieve that. That's what it's. That's what I said. It's like almost there's drama, but it's like it's part of the whole thing. You know. You can't
but
have
I keep
that the other
characters.
Yes.
I keep her strong.
Yes.
I keep her neurotic
strong.
As hell.
Definitely.
But strong.
Yes. But strong.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to change her mind.
Once she says that's it, you know. But that's what most women anyway.
She's out.
Yeah.
She's, you know, that, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I need you. That's not my book.
No.
Because my female characters ain't going to need nobody. They're not going to need anyone. They're going to desire someone.
Yes.
They may need them for a specific, you know, situation, business-wise or something. But for salvation and to live and to love themselves, no.
Yeah, and survive, no.
And that's the way I try to write, you know, with a strong female, alpha
female.
With
a strong female, yes.
And especially women of color, and I make it my business to ensure that she doesn't come with a grocery list.
Yes, definitely.
You know, you got to have this, and this to meet my standard. She has one standard. It's cart, you know, there's no carte blanche. Either you meet that standard or you don't,
or you don't.
That's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that makes
it can be hard,
reading
you know.
More.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's more for the reader to identify with.
Right.
And to want to give the reader the desire to want to identify, to woman identify, self-identify with the character.
Yeah, and you can. And it's
And those characteristics they will remember.
Because there's nothing wrong with being strong but vulnerable, you know, because even the best of us
there's
are vulnerable,
difference.
You know.
There's a vulnerability in all of us.
Exactly.
But, you know, remember, I don't know if you remember, right, remember we spoke before, and we said there are two types of romantics, the incurable romantic and the hopeless romantic. And everyone always asks me that one question, what is the difference? An incurable romantic knows how to get up off the floor.
There you go.
A hopeless romantic is just going to lay there for somebody to come pick her up.
Yeah.
He came from me. No, he didn't come for you.
No.
He came for something, but he didn't come for you.
He didn't come for you.
No. Right. He came for self-gratification.
Yes.
You know exactly. You remember that conversation now.
Yes, I do. And I'll have to replay it on one of my repeat shows. I'll have to replay it. So,
oh, my goodness. No. We're going to have a burial ceremony for that conversation.
But it was so
good.
Oh,
my goodness.
You know?
And it was, that night, we were just yakety, yakety, yakety.
Yakety, yakety. Yep, we were.
But it was fun and intriguing.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure people learned a lot of things that night.
Probably more about the military,
right? Probably more than they wanted to know about the military.
Girl.
I will tell you that much. But. So I know you have like a blog where you do videos as well, not just write books. And so I follow you as well. And it's, I think, The Smoking Glass.
No, you see, love it.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about that, because I've seen your writing space, but for those, you know, my listeners and readers who have not, describe what it's like.
I'm on WordPress and TikTok. I love TikTok because it has a huge reach, and it doesn't have the crazy algorithms that Facebook has these days. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something weird going on Facebook as far as authors go and how far of a reach of an audience we are allowed to have
on Facebook. Exactly.
And I see that as a type of censorship. And authors, no matter what we write, contemporary, fantasy, science, sci-fi, whatever, we should never be stagnated in our writing.
Yes. No.
Or our audience. And
yeah.
I don't mind, you know, boosting a post or group every now and again, but I don't want to be manipulated into doing it.
Yes.
And I think the algorithms are set up to work against us, and there are certain bugs in the system. You know the term, bugs in the system, that I don't like. And it's really affecting authors, their reach, and our bottom line. As entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, however you want to say it. And, of course, I take issue. I'm a baby boomer. I'm going to take issue with
Yes.
I don't want to say what I want to say, but
I'm disappointed.
Yes, I'm disappointed that Facebook took this particular stance, because there are too many talented authors who are hardworking, who are putting their heart and soul into their work, and they're using your platform. You're making money off of us. We're not making the money off of you.
Exactly. So we should not be limited.
That's not an apple to oranges thing. That's more like peanuts to oranges. And I feel that TikTok, their business operation, is just better. It's geared more towards the author. That's why you see me more on TikTok. A little IG, and definitely WordPress. And the reason I chose WordPress is because most of, and we've had this conversation before, but to iterate to your audience is this. You may not like WordPress. But, I mean, they have the free WordPress. Of course, it has a few advertisements in it. So what? That is where I have a friend who, let's just say, he's pretty connected with the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to give you this tidbit of information and you can do with it what you want. When someone says that, you better be like E.F. Hutton. Their ears better be listening quick.
Open. They have that notepad and a pen ready.
Exactly. He said your romance writers, your sci-fi writers, and your paranormal romance writers go to WordPress first.
Mm.
When they're scouting authors for traditional publishing.
Oh,
I said, are you serious? He said, why wouldn't they? He said, because your journalists are on WordPress. Mm-hmm. Why do you think MSNBC, CNN, Fox News advertise WordPress? And I looked
Makes
it up
sense.
On my Audible books.
Wow.
Okay, if it's good enough for the journalist, it's good enough for me. And that's why I've chosen WordPress.
WordPress.
And it's very
user-friendly. Yes, that was my first platform, actually, was WordPress.
Yeah, and it's very easy,
like,
and I'm sure you're very comfortable with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Let's see, I was, what, 2008?
Well, you know me, I like to take those, I like to take those comfortable baby steps first, and then I will grow up when nobody's looking. And I'm like, I remember when. When is behind me. I'm ahead
now.
Yeah,
I thrown in the pool. That's just...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The pool,
your
I
audience is probably one of these. We know each other. Ladies and gentlemen, we know each other.
Yeah.
This is the only reason why we're comfortable. But I'm comfortable in my own skin, so I speak my mind. I'm very matter-of-fact. Even when I worked in the beauty industry, I never let the industry change me and make me snooty and snarky.
No.
I was only snarky to those customers who thought they could come in and, you know, I got a black card or whatever. Girl, I got to do your face.
You.
I got to tell those people, if they can or cannot do your face, please politely sit your tail down in that seat and be quiet, because you're not the only one here with a black card. Because if you were all that important, you would be on this floor. You'd be upstairs. they don't want to hear that. Upstairs.
Of course not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
You know. So let me get you straight. Well,
yeah,
I need a supervisor.
Point, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to someone in charge. You're talking to her.
That's why I told you.
Hello? Sometimes I wouldn't say anything mahogany. I wouldn't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just let them go see whomever they wanted to see, and they would end up back to me. Well, why didn't you tell me that? I did tell you. You just didn't listen.
Didn't listen.
Mm-mm. Yes. And I think that's a part of, you know, why I'm so such an avid writer. I mean, I have notes. Well, you've seen my desk.
Yes.
I have notes everywhere. Everywhere. Just
yes. And she has a beautiful little buddy that comes up too. Yes.
Too beautiful.
Just too beautiful that pop up. And all I catch is the blue eyes.
T'Challa.
Yes.
Yep. T'Challa and Artemis. They are a hot mess. Those
yes.
are spoiled and ruined.
They're so beautiful.
You sweet. I love those. Those dogs saved my life.
I know.
I love
my fur baby
here.
So yeah.
Yeah. She's at my feet right now. Like,
are you talking about me?
No, my dog. She's
no, that's what I'm saying. She's probably saying to herself, "You talking about me now?"
Mm-mm. She want to know where
like,
my
I heard my
at.
Name. Yeah. I heard my name.
Where
am I getting something
at? I call her Hugh Heffa.
Yes.
I have to call her I'm downstairs. I'm writing. I'm on the computer writing. I heard Optimus whining. I went into complete panic mode. I'm thinking, oh, my God, did she get bit by a snake again? Because she remembers when she got bit by the copperhead.
Yeah, I remember
I'm thinking, oh, my God, not again. So I'm fighting to get up the stairs. She's on the couch whining. I'm thinking, I'm looking all over her body. There was nothing. Mahogany. Mm. Hugh Heffa wanted me to turn to Disney Channel so she could watch Togo. I said, wait a minute. I know this dog
she
is not whining to watch Disney Channel.
Her favorite show. Yeah, she got to have her favorite shows on, you know? That's what you said on the couch.
I turned to the Disney Channel. She laid her head on that pillow. I didn't hear nothing from her for almost 2 hours.
Wow.
So that's what I said. They're spoiled rotten, both of them.
Yes.
But, you know, T'Challa's not that way. You give him his snacks, he goes outside, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Hugh Heffa, who yep. think this is a Playboy mansion.
Yes. Talk about
no,
her.
No, she's yeah, it's all about her. She's spoiled.
That's right.
Rotten. Mm-hmm. With a 15 pounds overweight too.
Oh.
I don't eat that good.
Eating good in the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, but when I'm writing, she's right underneath my feet.
Oh.
All the time. All the time. Unless I turn the television on, and that's the only way I can get rid of her.
Then she's like, oh, gotta go.
But can't turn to the news. No, 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 no.
Mm-mm.
It has to be a doggy movie. If I watch another 101 Dalmatian or Cruella, I'm going to choke somebody. No.
You should get her on.
And I don't know if these are dogs or
yeah.
or are these dogs or are these toddlers.
What is that, the Beverly Hills Chihuahua? Have you seen that one?
Girl, there is a doggy movie on the planet. Togo and White Fang
oh,
are
yeah.
her favorites.
White Fang, I bet.
Yeah, and Iron Will.
Okay, that's a good one.
Ask me how I know.
Jessie Rabbit.
Every day. Every day.
Mm. Well, I had cat. Well,
Disneytown
yeah,
for their dog.
Yeah, for a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter's cat, my grand fur baby, would sit there and watch dog shows. He liked to watch dog shows, which
is
really weird. Yeah, it's a cat. He liked his name was Winston, and he loved to watch dog shows.
Oh wow! Is that a dog?
Yeah, you know.
We've got to write
the
books about our pets.
Yeah, the Secret Life of Pets. The pets of writers and what they do.
Okay. Mine's
going to be
the
yeah.
fabulous life of Hugh. The fabulous life
of
Hugh Heffa. Okay. Because she is something else.
Yeah.
And she knows how to get me because she'll crawl up on the sofa and lay on my feet. Ain't that
oh.
something?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't move. So I
and
can't
give you
move.
The big puppy dog eyes. Yeah.
I hate them because I fall for them every time.
Every time.
Every yeah. day. Every day. And then she'll just go and lick my face. I'm thinking, I'm just a sucker.
Yep.
Sucker for
again.
This beautiful dog. Got you
yes.
again. She gets me every time.
Mm-hmm. She gets you every time.
It's a beautiful. I can't write without her. It's like, come on, girl, we got to go right.
We got to go finish this book, so yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, that's the lifestyle of an author.
Yes.
We are hopeless. We are incurable romantics in every part
incurable
of our
romantics,
life.
And yes. And pets are important. You probably will. Actually, I did write one of my cats into my novel. The Grand Dame of Bourbon Street.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I did. There's a chapter in there where he's in it. So, he's like a person, you know. So, yeah.
That's so precious, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have huskies. I can't have I wanted a cat, but I have two huskies. They'll tear that cat apart.
Probably so.
Girl, T'Challa had me in tears one day almost. He came in here with a baby rabbit in his mouth. I'd like to die.
Oh. Oh, no.
But, you know, he's Alaskan Malamute
mm-hmm.
and Siberian Husky, so he has that wolf instinct.
Yes.
And we couldn't get the baby rabbit out of his mouth.
Oh, goodness.
For nothing.
You mean he didn't leave it for you?
He just, no, he wouldn't let go. He laid in the grass with that rabbit until I just got tired. And I couldn't bear it anymore.
Mm.
And I stepped on his tail. I stepped on his tail, and I said, you're going to give me that rabbit today. I said, drop it. Drop it now. And he dropped it and went on.
Oh.
And I picked it up, you know, wiped it off, and it finally went on.
Oh,
but
it was
he wasn't
still alive.
Giving up. I don't know.
Oh.
It's 8:58.
Oh, yeah, so I'm
we
sorry.
Always
we digressed
talk
again.
Until
we always do that. So I hope all my listeners have enjoyed that. But all right, in the last couple of minutes we have, tell us where my listeners can find you with your website and listen to The Smoking Glass and your blog. So.
Absolutely. Of course, I'm on Anchor, but the Smoking Glass Literary Bar, I'm on Facebook. I have the group, The Smoking Glass Literary Bar. My Facebook page is author Jay-Z Luciano. My IG is The Smoking Bar, the Smoking Glass Literary Bar.
Mm-hmm.
My WordPress is The Smoking Glass Literary Bar, and my TikTok is The Smoking Glass Literary Bar. And my books that are available for purchase are exclusive to Amazon.com.
Nice. All righty.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for coming on the show tonight. Again, you're welcome anytime, especially when you got anything new coming out. And I enjoyed having you again because it's always awesome with us. So I thank you guys for
wonderful
for listening in and tuning and taking time out your evening to sit with us. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I wish you Merry Christmas and blessings, peace,
Merry
and love.
Christmas and happy holidays to you. You too,
yes.
Darling.
You too.
All right, girl. And thank you all for listening and supporting.
You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.